From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, The Curse of Rebuilding What God Has Cursed. In chapter 6, verse 26, God placed a curse upon anyone who would rebuild the city of Jericho after its destruction. The price for such disobedience would be the deaths of his firstborn and of his youngest son, a penalty which was realized during the reign of the evil King Ahab. In applying the teaching of this passage to present-day religious conditions, Dr. Cairns first gives the reasons for God's curse upon Jericho. Then we'll see how this is paralleled in the apostasy which is rampant in the church today. As those in Ahab's day did, apostates ignore God's word. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. Our text for this morning is in 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 23. These were potters, and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work. Potters were not the very highest grade of workers, but the king needed potters, and therefore they were in royal service, although the material upon which they worked was nothing but clay. We too may be engaged in the most menial part of the Lord's work, but it is a great privilege to do anything for the king, and therefore we will abide in our calling, hoping that, although we have lain among the pots, yet we shall be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. The text tells us of those who have dwelt among plants and hedges, having rough, rustic hedging and ditching work to do. They may have desired to live in the city amid its life, society, and refinement, but they kept their appointed places, for they also were doing the king's work. The place of our habitation is fixed, and we are not to remove from it out of whim and caprice, but seek to serve the Lord in it, by being a blessing to those among whom we reside. These potters and gardeners had royal company, for they dwelt with the king, and although among hedges and plants, they dwelt with the king there. No lawful place or gracious occupation, however mean, can debar us from communion with our divine Lord. In visiting hovels, swarming lodging houses, workhouses, or jails, we may go with the King. In all works of faith, we may count upon Jesus' fellowship. It is when we are in His work that we may reckon upon His smile. Ye unknown workers who are occupied for your Lord amid the dirt and wretchedness of the lowest of the low, be of good cheer, for jewels have been found upon dunghills ere now, earthen pots have been filled with heavenly treasure, and ill weeds have been transformed into precious flowers. Dwell with the king for his work, and when he writes his chronicles, your name shall be recorded.
Christ becomes to hard a task.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
We return to the book of Joshua this morning and reading one verse at the end of chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho." First reading, this is a very simple imprecation or curse. Most reference Bibles will give you a cross-reference to 1 Kings 16:34, where the curse came into effect many, many years later. However, it is not as simple as it appears. In fact, in many ways, we could say it's a strange imprecation. I say that because if you turn over a few pages in the book of Joshua, you discover that almost immediately after the children of Israel destroyed the city of Jericho, they inhabited it. Joshua 18:21 says, "The cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho, Beth Hogla, etc." Jericho, one of the cities of the tribe of Benjamin. You remember that when David sent some ambassadors to the new king of Ammon, that king and his people sought to humble them and mock them and sent them home in disgrace. We read in 2 Samuel 10, verse 5, David sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, "Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown and then return." So what are we to make of the text that says in Joshua 6, "Cursed be the man that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho"? That the curse did not actually come into effect until many, many centuries later, but that all the time in the intervening period, Jericho actually was inhabited by people, especially of the children of Benjamin. So what are we to make of it? I think that the easiest and the most biblical way of looking at this is simply to say that God's curse was not on people inhabiting Jericho, but on rebuilding it as a fortified city. Now, I don't want to take much time in the technicalities, but scholars point out that the Hebrew verb that is used here is used in other places for that specific purpose of speaking of building the fortifications of a city rather than simply building houses on a site. So what the Holy Ghost through Joshua is interdicting here is reestablishing Jericho as a fortified city. And for many centuries, the children of Israel took the curse very seriously, and Jericho remained an unfortified settlement of Israelites. Then in the days of King Ahab, there arose a man by the name of Hiel, and he decided that the ancient imprecation was just a malediction of a man. It was something that could be ignored. It was meaningless. And he set about rebuilding Jericho in all its fortified glory. And he certainly paid the price. We read in 1 Kings 16:34, "In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun." That simply means that in fulfillment of the curse of God, the man who set about rebuilding this fortified city did so, but at the cost of his own family. And from the firstborn to the youngest, God wiped them out in fulfillment of his curse. So clearly the passage of time, the hundreds of years between the time of Joshua and the time of Ahab, had made no difference to the Lord's decree. Now when you stop to think of that, it's very easy to say that. But when you stop to think of that and let that sink in, that back in the days of Joshua, God had imposed a curse on the man who would rebuild this fortified city. Hundreds of years went by until there came a time when people thought that they could conveniently forget the curse and they could set it aside, went ahead with the building. But that time had made not the slightest bit of difference to God's decree. That gives the text an awful significance, even for our own day. In other words, this text has a timeless message. It's a text that teaches us very simply that God has placed his curse on those who seek to build what God has pulled down. And I want us to think of that today for a few minutes. The curse of rebuilding what God has condemned. I want to do this in a very simple and straightforward way. I want us to think of the reasons for God's curse upon Jericho, and then the lessons of God's curse upon Jericho. The reasons for this curse can be very, very simply put. First and foremost, the ruins of Jericho stood as a lasting monument to the Lord's power. Because the walls of Jericho came down, not by military might, but by divine intervention. These ruins stood as a monument to God's judgment. The burning of all that was in ancient Jericho was a symbol of the burning holiness of God and a testimony to his constant hatred of the abominations and the wickednesses of the people of Jericho, and especially of their religion and its rites and ceremonies. It was a testimony to God's judgment. And the ruin of Jericho stood, of course, as a monument to God's mercy. It was a standing evidence that God led his people into a secure inheritance in which they could depend upon his constant protection. They didn't have the thick walls of Jericho standing round about them. They didn't have all the means of defense people would have thought necessary. But they had the protection of their covenant God. The ruins of Jericho then were a monument and a testimony to the power, to the judgment, and to the mercy of God. Therefore, to rebuild Jericho would be an act, first, of unbelief. Second, it would be an act of arrant disobedience. And third, and worst of all, it would be an act of open apostasy. Indeed, the rebuilding of Jericho demonstrates the true nature of apostasy in as clear a way as anything that I know in Scripture. Let me give you very quickly, and I will not take time to preach this in any detail, but let me give you an outline of apostasy as this text would show it to us. When God puts his curse on rebuilding what he has condemned, and apostasy goes ahead as it did in the days of Ahab and did that very thing. First of all, apostasy ignores God's word. The Word of God was very clear. It was very plain. There was no difficulty in understanding it. For centuries, the people of God had clearly grasped it. But then in the days of Ahab, there arose this new feeling, this new attitude to the Word of God, this new attitude to the written oracles of Scripture. Apostasy always starts off with a so-called new approach to Scripture. We must never forget that whether in ancient times or in modern times, no movement of apostasy has ever been able to get off the ground and make any progress without first of all assaulting, ignoring, denying, and ultimately removing the blessed Word of God. That's why we need to take a lot of interest in what is happening in the religious world today. It's why we need to be on our guard against every attack upon the Scriptures of truth. Apostasy ignores God's Word. The Apostle John said in 1 John 4, verse 6, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." The spirit of error, the spirit of apostasy, the dark satanic movements of religion, cloaking itself as Christianity, but all the time totally at variance with God and at enmity with God, is always discernible by its rejection of, its ignoring of the Word of God. Apostasy ignores God's Word.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.